Every Woman is a womanish show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 52% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, economic, and environmental arenas. The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests, and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Midcoast Radio Project, Incorporated.
Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart, co-host of Every Woman with Amy Bell, who you just heard read our most magnificent intro. And our guest today, who will be joining us after Women's E-News, she's actually in the studio with us, is Gina Egan, whom we met 2 years ago at UMKC at their Vagina Monologues. At that time, well, she still is a chemistry professor at JCCC, and she put on her first event, and she got hooked, and I would say she is an activist extraordinaire now, and in fact, we've approached her to perhaps be a part-time co-host on Every Woman, but we haven't been able to get that commitment out of her, and she's sitting over here laughing. But right now, let's go to the Women's E-News.
Cheers and jeers from Women's E-News. In cheers. House Democrats introduced on January 26th the proposed Federal Employees Paid Parental Leave Act that calls for 6 weeks of paid leave to federal employees for the birth, adoption, or foster placement of a child. The introduction of the bill follows a push by President Barack Obama, including in his State of the Union address. The bill is sponsored by several congresswomen, including Carolyn B. Maloney, a Democrat from New York, Eleanor Holmes Norton, a Democrat from Washington, D.C., and Rosa DeLauro, a Democrat from Connecticut. I remember being a young mother and asking about the leave policy when I became pregnant. I was told, "What leave? You just leave," said Maloney. It is outrageous that decades later we still don't have the same basic right that most of the rest of the world enjoys. This is not only wrong, it's bad for our economy. Smart paid leave policies improve employee retention, boost productivity, and more. More news to cheer this week. Rep. Tim Ryan, a Democrat from Ohio, a longtime opponent of abortion, announced in an op-ed that he now supports abortion rights after having talked to women in difficult circumstances throughout his home state. The Huffington Post reported January 28th. I have sat with women from Ohio and across the nation and heard them talk about their varying experiences, abusive relationships, financial hardship, health scares, rape and incest, wrote Ryan. These women gave me a better understanding of how complex and difficult certain situations can become. And while there are people of good conscience on both sides of this argument, one thing has become abundantly clear to me. The heavy hand of government must not make this decision for women and families. Marissa Alexander has been released from jail after serving 3 years for firing warning shots in the direction of her abusive husband in 2010. The judge sentenced her to 2 years house arrest. Alexander will have to wear an electronic device on her ankle and stay employed or in school during these 2 years. Dominican lawmakers are set to discuss a draft bill next month that would lay out the legal framework for women seeking to terminate pregnancies in certain conditions. Last year, President Danilo Medina recommended that lawmakers amend the criminal code to allow abortion in cases of rape, incest, a deformed fetus, or when a woman's life is in danger. Reuters Trust Law reported January 27th. Obama raised the issue of women's rights as he ended a visit to India this week. At a meeting attended by students, the U.S. president told his audience that if countries wanted to develop effectively, they must educate and empower their daughters as much as their sons, Reuters reported January 26th. Research, which tracked more than 13,000 women's medical abortions at Planned Parenthood health centers in Los Angeles over a 5-year period, has found that an off-label regimen for providing medical abortion is very safe. Think Progress reported January 26th. That finding stands in direct contrast to an increasing number of state laws that prevent doctors from prescribing this effective regimen, claiming concerns over women's health and safety. An Egyptian doctor has become the first person in the country's history to be jailed for practicing female genital mutilation after a 13-year-old died in his care, The Telegraph reported January 26th. Reslan Fadl was sentenced to 2 years in prison for manslaughter and a further 3 months for performing an illegal FGM operation. His clinic was also ordered to be closed for a year. In jeers, three separate abortion bills were proposed by the Republican majority in Missouri this week. One of the bills, introduced by GOP Rep. Rocky Miller, will require both parents to be notified prior to an abortion. Currently, Missouri law requires only one parent to be notified for a minor to complete an abortion procedure. In addition, a bill called the Parental Involvement Enhancement Act requires that the parent or guardian of a minor seeking an abortion prove their identity. A final bill, introduced by Rep. Linda Black, requires the Department of Social Services to produce a video that will provide such information as a narration of the gestational period of the fetus, the anatomical and physiological characteristics of the fetus, and alternatives to abortion procedures. Women would be required to view the video before undergoing an abortion. In Connecticut, bills were introduced that would require physicians to notify parents or legal guardians 48 hours in advance of giving a minor an abortion. More news to jeer this week. Nearly 20% of reproductive rights clinics were targeted by anti-abortion violence last year, according to the 2014 National Clinic Violence Survey. It is a slight decrease from the 23.5% registered in 2010. Severe violence includes blockades, clinic invasions, bombing, arson, chemical attacks, stalking, physical violence, gunfire, bomb threats, arson threats, and death threats. The clinics also reported higher levels of threats and targeted intimidation of doctors and staff than in prior years. For instance, clinics reported that information and pictures of doctors posted on the internet jumped from 9% to 17.8% between 2010 and 2014. Homeless women in Melbourne, Australia, are being regularly preyed upon by men who demand they have sex with them in return for shelter, according to those who work in the homeless sector. Women have told of being raped and abused by men who offer assistance, with the expectation women will put up with these crimes because of the lack of affordable or safe shelter, The Guardian reported January 27th. Women experiencing gender discrimination in STEM fields is not a novelty. However, it gets worse for women of color, finds a report by the UC Hastings College of the Law. 100% of the 60 scientists, all women of color, interviewed for the study reported encountering one or more patterns of gender bias, compared with 93% of white women. Women now make up 20% of both the House and Senate, a record high for the U.S. Congress. However, that figure pales in comparison with most of its high-income peer nations, the Pew Research Center reported January 26th. The U.S. ranks 33rd when it comes to women in the national legislature among 49 high-income countries, those with per capita incomes above $12,615. Among a larger group of 137 countries with data available, the U.S. ranked just 83rd. The only country with more female legislators than males is Rwanda. 51 of the 80 seats in the Chamber of Deputies are held by women. Following Rwanda are Cuba, Sweden, and South Africa. Noted. Ahead of Sunday's Super Bowl, billboard trucks started traveling around Phoenix with messages reminding football fans of what critics see as an inadequate NFL response to domestic violence involving star NFL players. Dispatched by the anti-sexism group Ultraviolet to the airport, hotels, and other venues, the trucks will bear slogans including 55 cases of domestic violence unanswered, and call for NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to resign. The Ultraviolet ad campaign also includes a video featuring a woman being tackled by a football player as a voiceover reads, "Let's take domestic violence out of football." The anti-sexism group released January 28th a survey showing that 58% of women disapprove of the NFL's handling of domestic abuse. The same poll showed that 67% think the NFL should be doing more to combat domestic abuse in the league. The Newsweek cover issued January 29th created an outrage online. The illustration has been described as sexist by many on social media. The story, titled "What Silicon Valley Thinks of Women," focuses on two female programmers, Lauren Mosenthal and her partner, Eileen Carey, who recently launched their startup in San Francisco. But to succeed, they have to beat the odds and fight off deeply entrenched misogyny. Critics on Twitter branded the cover clickbait, designed to piss off women, inappropriate and offensive. A Guantanamo Bay military court order that bars female guards from touching an accused Al-Qaeda commander violates Pentagon's sex discrimination guidelines and means inmates could set prison policies, a prosecutor argued January 29th in a hearing on the ban. However, a lawyer for inmate Abd al-Hadi al-Araki said lifting the temporary order would violate the U.S. Constitution and Supreme Court rulings on religious freedom. Michelle Obama, who visited this week the Saudi kingdom with her hair uncovered, has brought the media attention back to the status of women in the monarchy. The First Lady, who has been traveling with her husband in India and Saudi Arabia, was both praised and criticized across social media. In local news, the Prairie Village Post reported January 28th that Roland Park City Council members Ryan Kellerman and Megan England had a disagreement over the appointment of a Board of Zoning Appeals member. England wanted longtime board member Doug Long replaced by Deborah Walden. England said it would be good to have a woman on the Board of Zoning Appeals. And Kellerman responded by saying, "I am offended when you say we need a woman on that board. It is sexist."
Well, and here we are. And I think that last statement bears a little bit of discussion. We have with us in the studio, besides our co-host Amy Bell, who you just heard reading that news, we have Gina Egan, who, as I said earlier, is a chemistry professor at JCCC and the production or producer of V-Day, which is coming up February 5th at JCC, and she's going to tell us a lot about that. But we've been talking during this news story about how do you say in a nice way that having a woman on a board might be a good thing to do without being told it was a sexist statement. I mean, can anybody relate to why would that man say that was sexist to say it would be good to have a woman on the board?
Well, I think that why he said that is he's misunderstanding looking at gender as a qualification to improve a board as using sex discrimination, which kind of implies this conspiratorial idea that women are trying to put men down and keep them from power, but to put one woman on a five-person board is hardly revoking the rights and powers of all men. And to me, that's what sexism is. Sexism isn't that one instance of kind of rudeness. It's this concept by which a whole 50% of our population is held at lesser status. That's what sexism is. It's not saying we should have a woman on a board. It's the fact that 50% of our population still does not have an equal share of power, money, influence, anything in our society.
So Ryan, is that his first name or last name?
Ryan is first name.
Ryan.
Kellerman.
Ryan Kellerman needs a bit of sex education, or would it be feminist education?
Yeah.
Or sexist education?
Sociology. A sociology course would probably sort that out pretty quickly.
What do you think, Gina?
I think that it's a five person board representing a community should certainly be more representative of the community, and that certainly would include women and men and all genders.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the statistics of what the makeup of Roland Park is, but I'm sure there's a significant amount of women who do live in Roland Park.
One would think.
Probably kind of like the world average of about 50%, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, I am just assuming. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I would think that would be my educated guess.
Well, it is KKFI's winter pledge drive, as if you've been listening to KKFI, you've probably heard. And we would really encourage our listeners to call in with a first-time pledge or maybe a repeat pledge, because we think KKFI offers an awfully lot. And I did a little exercise this morning about just what we have done since October on Every Woman, the guests we've had, the diversity we've had. We even have had a man on the show. A man or two have been on the show, actually. And Amy, are you prepared to read a list of just exactly who we've had on the show?
Yeah, just a recap. We brought the League of Women Voters in to talk about the elections in November. We had 10th Dimension, the paranormal investigators, who I've heard are going to maybe have a Lifetime story told about them.
They have been called by the Lifetime TV series or the Lifetime station to do a story on them, and they are really pumped, my daughter Paige said. She's going out with them tonight to a house in Lee Summit that is reported to be haunted. And in fact, just a plug, they volunteered that they would do a fundraiser for KKFI. All we need to find is a haunted location. They suggested an old church would be ideal. I remember Hector saying ideally it would be connected to water and electricity. But if any of our listeners out there know of a haunted location or believe they are living in a haunted location and would allow us to have a fundraiser, we would really appreciate it.
Yeah, and so you can call our pledge line at 888-931-0901, and you can do sustained giving that you can give just a little bit every month, $10 a month, $7 a month, whatever you need, whatever is best for your budget. Or you could donate an old church with water and electricity, and we would be very grateful for that as well. But that kind of speaks, too, about our theme is we're local and vocal. And it's really exciting that we have a local group, these ghost hunters, paranormal investigators, that are kind of hitting the big time now and getting a national spotlight shined on them. And it's very exciting to see people from our community go on to that. I don't think you get more local and vocal than discussing the recent goings-on in Roland Park City Council. We are that local. We are here to talk about your communities and your issues. And we would appreciate your support of your women's programming on your community radio station.
We do the Women's E-News. We've been doing that for some time to just kind of give credibility to the fact that we're not just a couple of women sitting here at KKFI grousing about we feel like we're put upon. It's sort of a national and international thing that women are second class by and large, and we're working hard to change that image for women here at KKFI and at Every Woman. And we really would like for you to call in now with your pledge at 888-931-0901 to let us know you appreciate the effort we are making for bringing you guests from the National Commission to Preserve Social Security. We had the CEO on back in November. We had a woman who has a Kansas City connection who's walking across the United States to support the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment.
Well, I think that the CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security was a good example of how we're not exclusionary here. We don't cut members out of the society out. Everyone is welcome who is of the radical opinion that women are equal to men. That's all it takes to be a good, solid feminist and be a part of this community. And we have people from all walks of life. We have men, we have women, we have people of every ethnicity and people of different sexual orientation. It does not matter. It's all about the equality of women and advancing that equality in your community.
So it's time for you to call right now, 888-931-0901, with your pledge to KKFI to keep us on the air for another 27 years. That phone number again is 888-931-0901, or you can go online to kkfi.org and hit the donate button and give there through our Safe Pledge donation line.
And thank you in advance.
Yes, thank you for your donation. And we do have some people to thank, actually. Mary Mosley from Fulton, Missouri, is a longtime contributor and guest to KKFI, to Every Woman, and actually one of the first feminist women I met. In fact, Karen Johnson in Sarasota, Florida, they are the namesakes of my adopted cat Mojo for Mosley Johnson. And I met those women when I first came out as a feminist in about 1991 because of Anita Hill. I finally woke up when I realized nothing was going to change for me in a male-dominated industry, and it was time for me to let my feet hit the ground and do some talking and walking to make a change.
Well, we're going to pause for a second for a station break and give you an opportunity to call that number. It is 888-931-0901, and here we are to our station break.
Funding for KKFI provided by the Weekly Forum at All Souls UU Church. Each Sunday at 10 a.m., the forum will feature a discussion on community issues. All Souls UU Church is at 4501 Walnut Street, one block east of Main, in Kansas City. More information is at allsoulskc.org.
KKFI would like to thank Californos in Westport for donating food for our volunteers for this year's pledge drive. Thank you, Californos.
We're back, and let's get started with Gina telling us about what's going on with the V-Day coming up February 5th.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to come here and share about the V-Day event. V-Day is actually an international organization that was started in 1998 by Eve Ensler. She is the author of The Vagina Monologues, and she realized in 1998 that her art, her monologues, could help to raise awareness and end violence against women and girls, to get more of the word out. And so she started allowing local groups and organizations to produce performances of the vagina monologues, and in doing so raise money for local programs that deal with this issue. And since then, it's been expanded to not just the vagina monologues, but there are other theater pieces and there are workshops and films, and any of these things can be put on under the direction of V-Day and raise money for local organizations.
And so the money you raise, 100% of it is going to?
To MOXA, the Metropolitan Organization to Counter Sexual Assault, and to Safe Home. They focus on many things, but especially domestic violence in the Johnson County area.
And tickets are available.
You can go to, there's a website, so it's www.jccc.edu/VDay. Or you can just go to the JCCC website and then search for V-Day, and you will find a link for tickets.
And where exactly is that location?
So Johnson County Community College is in Overland Park on College Boulevard. It's actually 12345 College Boulevard. Makes it easy to remember. And on the campus, there is the Carlson Center, and then the Polsky Theater within the Carlson Center is where the performance will be. It is this coming Thursday, February 5th, and there's actually two performances, so to accommodate your schedule. There's one at 1 o'clock, and then there will be a repeat performance at 7:30 in the evening.
Okay. And tell us a bit about the Vagina Monologues. How did this get written? What did she pull from to come up with this idea?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about the Vagina Monologues, but what I neglected to say so far is actually that's not the set of monologues that we produce. When I decided, this is the third year doing a V-Day event, and when I decided I wanted to produce a V-Day event, I looked around at what was already being done, and UMKC does a performance of the Vagina Monologues, and I wanted to do something different. And so there's another set of monologues that was edited by Eve Ensler and Molly Doyle that's actually written by many authors, including Howard Zinn, including Alice Walker, Michael Cunningham. Both male and female authors have contributed to this particular set of monologues, and I like the idea of having both male and female performances, recognizing that the more of us that come together with this issue, then the more likely we'll make headway, that it's not just a women's issue, it's a human issue. And so we actually put on a set of monologues called A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer.
Okay, I do remember that. And we were talking a little bit about Alice Walker. She was so amazing. There's two quotes that I know can be attributed to her. One of them is, purple is to lavender as womanist is to feminist. I love that quote, and for a while that's what we used in our intro was womanist, but we've decided to go back to feminist for various reasons, which we may talk about later. And the other one that I just saw the other day is, activism is the price we pay for rent on this planet. And I love that quote, that to be here we owe something, and activism is a way to pay back the planet for being here.
I don't think I've heard that quote, but I like that a lot as well. Activism is a new thing for me. It's just been in the past few years. I spent most of my life saying, well, I'll give back one day, I'll give back one day. And a few years ago, I finally took that first step, and haven't looked back. many things since then.
It really is fulfilling to put your feet out there and get involved in something that's bigger than our own personal lives. When you make a commitment to do something, to call attention to the social injustices, it really is rewarding, I think, to do that.
It's helped give some of the things that have happened in my life more positive meaning, to be able to take some of what's happened in my past and use it as potentially as a way to help others and as a springboard to raise awareness for issues like violence against women and girls. It's been really rewarding and has given more meaning to my own life.
You know, it may be that our personal lives are what bring us to a point. For me, it was Anita Hill and the Clarence Thomas hearings that woke me up at about the age of 50. And it's like, what took me so long? Because there are a lot of young women out there who get it right away. But for me, I was trying to stay quiet, be in my place, be meek, don't rock the boat. And that doesn't get us very far, I don't think.
No, and, you know, like I said, I said I wanted to give back. And actually what kind of prompted me to finally do that, I guess kind of similar to your Anita Hill experience, was it was, so it would have been about 3.5 years ago now, I was actually listening to Democracy Now! On KKFI, and Eve Ensler was on there and was talking about the V-Day events, and I had never heard of it before, and it suddenly dawned on me, we could do this at JCCC. And it took me a couple months to get up the courage to say, yes, I'm going to do this. I had no experience in anything theatrical. And fortunately, I was able to team up with our theater department, who does know how to do these things, and an amazing performance. We've had amazing performances the past 2 years, and I know that this one is going to be incredible as well.
You know, that's just an amazing story, and I had forgotten that you heard about V-Day, Eve Ensler, on Democracy Now! That just sort of makes you a natural to become a regular here on Every Woman. I think you can't say no to that any longer. But we'll wait till after after the V-Day event is over to push you on that. Although you and Stacey Carell are going to be back on the show Feb 14, I
Valentine's
believe.
Day, yeah.
Yeah, to talk about another event that's upcoming. Mm-hmm. And we'll wait to share that a little bit later. So how long is the V-Day? How long is each monologue? Approximately.
The monologues vary. Some of them, there's a couple that's maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then a couple that go 10 to 15. It kind of varies.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we have both male and female performers, and so they cover a wide range of topics, which are very powerful, some very intense topics. As a matter of fact, I don't suggest bringing children to the performance because it is a very powerful performance. And it lasts in total, I'm not positive this year. Last year was about an hour. It'll be between an hour and 90 minutes. It will, but I'm not positive exactly how long this year's mm-hmm. lasts.
So February 5th, next Thursday night, this is going to take place at JCCC,
mm-hmm.
and tickets are available at
www.jccc.edu/vday.
And all the proceeds are going to support a nonprofit, so that means the tickets are tax deductible, doesn't it?
Possibly. I don't necessarily always know those details, but all of the proceeds are going to MOXA and to Safe Home.
Good. How did you go about finding your presenters?
Well, so we have a new director.